In this lesson, we're going to focus on object groups. What exactly are they? Are they a convenient way to group a bunch of IP addresses or protocols or port numbers that we can integrate inside of our access list entries so we don't have to create manually 28 lines for simply five services going to four or five different servers on the inside? There's four types of object groups. There's a protocol object group looking for layer four protocols. There's a network object group, which is really simple. It's just looking for IP addresses or subnets. We have the service object group, which the documentation says it's just for TCP or UDP ports, but the reality is it will identify any layer four protocol as well. And then we have a special object group for ICMP type. Let's take a closer look at each one of those. To create a protocol object group, all we're doing is creating a group that identifies layer four protocols. So, for example, object-group protocol, because that's the type we're going to create, and then we name it. Whatever you name it is great. That puts you into object group configuration mode, and then you specify the keyword protocol-object space, and then the layer four protocol of your choice. It could be TCP, UDP, ICMP, etc. And then later you could use that object group in an access list instead of having to do three independent lines for those services. The next type of object group is the network object group. And again, it's just a collection of IP addresses or subnets that you want to collectively provide the same treatment for regarding an access list. So object group, object-group, space, network, and then you name it. You press enter, and that puts you into object group configuration mode for your network object group. And then you could just simply specify your hosts. Network-object, space, host, space 10.1.1.7 and then 10.1.1.9 or whatever IP addresses you want to include, you simply put in them one line at a time inside the network object group. If you wanted to add a network, you'd simply in the object group configuration mode type in network-object, leave off the keyword host, and then simply put in the network space and then the mask, again dotted decimal notation, and that would represent the entire network. The service object group is a little bit different in that, depending on how you create it, it has various functionality. For example, if we wanted to create a new service object group called My Services, the syntax is object-group service, and then you'd simply name it My Services. If you just press enter there, it gives you options for identifying TCP, UDP services, as well as other protocols, including ESP and other layer 4 protocols that you might want to identify. You can also, if you don't put on the keyword TCP or UDP at the end of your creation of your object group, you can also specify source ports. You could say service object TCP source equal 80 and specify a source port as well. So even though this object group might go near the tail end of your access list, if you specify source port inside the object group, the access list will interpret it correctly. And that's another point that we should bring up. When we use these object groups inside of an access list, it doesn't really shorten the access list. It speeds up the creation. But if we do a show run access list, we may have one line in our ACL. However, if we do a show access list, it'll show the expanded access list with all the logical lines that would have come up based on what's inside of those various object groups that we're using. We've taken a look at the object groups for service, for network, and also for protocol. The last one is the ICMP type object group. To create one, same as the others, object-group space, and then you type in ICMP-type, and then give it a name. Press enter, and you're in object group configuration mode. And there you can specify your ICMP types, like type 8 for echo, or echo reply at type 0. And you can either put in the numbers for those, or the keywords echo and echo reply. If you want to nest object groups within each other, there's only one real rule, and that is you can't nest a service object group inside of a network object group. That doesn't make any sense. It's like apples and oranges, cats and dogs living together. But if I had, for example, a network object group called Network 1 that had three or four hosts in it, and I had a network object group called Network 2 with three or four hosts in it, I could create a final object group, and maybe I call it object-group space network space all, and I could call on the group objects net one and group object net two, and that would effectively nest them all inside that one master object group. Then I could use that in my access list and the access list would then interpret it and build out the appropriate lines. So exactly how do we tie all these object groups into productive access lists? Well, the first thing is we need to have a policy of what we're trying to accomplish. Then we create our object groups based on IP addresses that are going to need same or similar treatment, or services that need same or similar treatment through the firewall. And as an example, let's say we have a network object group called denied, and we want to use that inside of an access list. Maybe the denied network object group has three or four hosts in it. We could simply in our access list type in access-list, the name of your access list, we'll call it outside for this example, deny TCP space object group denied space object group and another object group for the destination. So if we had two different network object groups, that's exactly how we'd use them. If we wanted to tie a service object group as well, we could simply specify an object group for the source, an object group for the destination, and then an object group for the actual ports for TCP or UDP or anything else that was inside of our service object group. When we do a show access list, again, the entire access list may show up as 12 or 13 or 100 lines of code based on one single access list entry, because it's extrapolating all the various permutations for all the protocols based on all the source addresses and all the destination addresses. And that's how simple it is to use object groups on an ASA. Another question that comes up is, well, if I'm using an object group, does that mean I can only have one line, or how do I vary it out? Let's say I want two or three hosts to have a time range associated with them as far as permissions, and another set of hosts with no time range. Can I do that with one access list entry with object groups? And the answer is no. What you would want to do is you'd want to divvy up into separate network object groups the devices you do want to have with the time-based ACL, and a different set of object groups for devices that don't want the time-based ACL. Because when you put the time range command on the access list, remember it goes on a specific entry. And so it's all or nothing if you have all your eggs in one basket. Remember, ordering, it does matter as well. Access lists are processed from top to bottom. So depending on where you put your access list in is going to depend on how it's processed. We don't really have control, however, of how the actual parsing and ordering of a single entry in the access list is done. That's up to the ASA and how it's going to build it out. If you have some critical permission that you or denial that you want to have happen, you may want to extract that and have that as an additional line separate in the access list so that you can put it above the access list entry or entries that have the object groups. Again, the logic is top-down processing. Every single packet gets compared against every line of the access list until there's a match. And if there's no match, as you know, there's the implicit deny at the very end. So in this section, we've taken a look at object groups. They're very handy. Most likely, your exposure to them will be in the lab environment in reducing the number of entries you have to create in an access list. Be careful with the wording. If it doesn't say how many lines can be in the access list, but it talks about configuring the minimal number of lines, and you've got different protocols and different services and different IP addresses, it's very possible that object groups may be the solution. Our next task and next audio lesson is VLANs with their support on the ASA, and I'll see you there in the next audio section.